In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Becky Harling is this woman with a degree in biblical literature. She's a sought-after speaker, Bible teacher, women's conference and retreat speaker across the country. She's also an author of like 900 books, and one of them is The Extraordinary Power of Praise. She's also writing another book, and you can get like on the list to pre-order those. We'll tell you about that throughout this conversation, but it's just my privilege to bring her back onto the show. Becky Harling, welcome back to Mornings with Tom and Tommy.
Hey, guys, it's great to be with you. And just to clear the record, I haven't written 900. That would be epic.
Yeah, that just seems like you are such a prolific author, and it's really wonderful. Just and I love the way that you write. So thank you so much for just sharing that gift with us.
Well, you are most welcome. I love being with you guys.
Hey, Becky, I don't know if you know this. We just found out that today is International Day of Happiness. And one of the things that they talked about in that was that you need to develop resilience. And you've been writing about how to make the choice of having a resilient heart. Help us learn how to do this.
Yeah, I love that today's the International Day of Happiness. Let's be happy all day.
Yeah, whatever.
So the choice of the resilient heart, you know, each of us is going to be hurt from time to time. You know, relationships just mean that there's going to be hurt in our lives, and we're going to be betrayed at times or rejected or accused or, you know, just plain old having our feelings hurt. And I believe that the choice of the resilient heart is to live this life where forgiveness flows out of our hearts, because that ends up strengthening our hearts to be more resilient and in the end, happier.
Okay, so as you're talking about that, there's got to be, I mean, I love that you can be happier, but you can actually choose to be resilient. How does that actually work in our life kind of on a daily basis?
Yeah, so I was reading this past week in John 13, you know, coming into Easter, I've been spending a lot of time in John and just preparing my heart for Resurrection Sunday. And in John 13, you know, we all know the story where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. However, a lot of us have thought, okay, this is the beautiful example of servant leadership. And it is for sure. But I think there's even more going on there. You know, Jesus knows that in a few few hours, Peter is going to deny him. Judas is going to leave the table and go and be offered money to betray Jesus. The other disciples are going to flee. And I believe that as Jesus is washing their feet, he is showing them, demonstrating to them that they are forgiven. And forgiveness is key to a resilient life. We have got to choose to continually live in this heart of forgiveness. And so what does forgiveness look like in your life and mine? It starts with a choice, really. We have to choose to say, God, I will forgive this person that's hurt me.
Okay, so Becky, we're hearing from Becky Harling and talking about resilience, starting with forgiveness as well. And how does a person even know that they've truly forgiven? Because I have found that sometimes in my life, I think I've forgiven someone and then I see them or they do something that reminds me of the hurt and I'm just back in that place again.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of us, it's not like we make the choice once, Tobby, and say, okay, I forgive this person. It starts with a choice, but it's ongoing. And so when you see that person and you're reminded of the hurt or you're reminded of the betrayal or the rejection or whatever, you pause for just a moment silently and you say, Lord Jesus, I am abiding in you. And forgive through me because I already made this choice. So forgive through me again. And you know, sometimes we have to do this again and again and again, but gradually the hurt diminishes and our resilience rises.
Okay, you're hearing the voice of Becky Harling kind of helping us how to forgive kind of in a continual fashion, because sometimes we think the one forgiveness should fit all, and why am I still feeling this way? And you're talking about this, and what you were saying is just kind of agreeing with God about forgiveness that we're supposed to give, and then actually saying it out loud. Is that helpful?
Yes, it's definitely helpful because you're declaring to God, yes, I will forgive and I will forgive again and I will forgive again. Remember, Jesus told Peter, hey, you got to do this 70 times 70. And he was right because he knows our human hearts. And I think there's a place, Tom, where our feelings are not ruling the show. You know, you might feel like, oh, I don't know if I have forgiven. But you declare again with your mouth, I will forgive, I will forgive, I will forgive. And you abide in Christ. You know, that idea of being tucked in Christ so that Christ's life is flowing through you. That's really key here to forgiving other people because it's him that's forgiving through you. You're just the vessel. And when you think of it like that, it becomes a little easier.
Okay, so Becky, let me just dive into that a little bit further with you. I just say that, right? But are there actions that I can do? Something that because yes. Just saying it doesn't seem like it's enough, you know, to forgive someone.
Yeah, and so, you know, we follow Jesus's example. He acted on his forgiveness by getting up from dinner, getting down on his knees, and washing their feet. And that is just huge for us. I remember a time in my life where I was walking a beach in California and I was really upset because of some of the people who had hurt my husband. You know, and sometimes it's easier to forgive people that have hurt yourself rather than the people that you love.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking, I am so mad at these people. And I felt like the Lord said, hey, I want you to do something nice for them. It's like, really?
No.
I'm not feeling that, Lord, you know, but I kept feeling that prompting from the Holy Spirit, you know? And so I'm trying to remember what I did. I think I sent like an anonymous gift card to them, you know, because I needed to act on my forgiveness. I am acting on this. You know, there was another person in my life that I struggled to forgive for years. And I remember sending them a card where I just told them some good things about who they were and that I loved them. And that was huge in my life. When we act on our forgiveness, then it takes up more root in our hearts, if that makes sense. You know, just like Jesus, we're following his example. He got up from the table, got down on his knees, and began washing their feet.
You're joining us in a conversation with Becky Harling, and we're talking about the choice of a resilient heart. We've been learning about how to agree and verbalize with God in order to forgive and to act on that forgiveness. And Becky, now we're going to go even deeper, and it's going to be even harder. We have to pray for others who have hurt us.
Yeah, we got it. It gets even harder than that, Tabby, actually. We have to pray blessing over them. And, I first learned this from R.T. Kendall, and I remember thinking at the time, this was maybe like 20 years ago, like, wow, I don't know that I can do that. But he went to the passage in Job. You remember Job? His friends were not great friends. Mm-mm. I mean, they kept telling him, you know, you've sinned, you've done all this horrible stuff, and this is why God's punishing you. I mean, really, it's makes the case for getting better friends. But, after Job goes to the Lord and he says, you know, now I thought I knew you before, but now I know who you really are. God tells Job's friends, go to Job and Job is going to pray blessing over you and then you're going to be forgiven. And there's a principle tucked in there that we need in our forgiveness journey. When we can finally pray blessing over the other person, even when we don't feel like it, there is a freedom that comes. So Lord, bless them, bless their families, bless their relationships, bless them financially, bless their jobs, help them to be filled with happiness today. And these are people who hurt us. But when we pray that blessing, there is a release of the pain in our heart. And it's not that they are set free, it's that we are set free. And we are set free then to go back to happiness, like we started in the beginning talking about. You know, resilience really means bouncing back from something painful. And the way to do that, this is the final step, pray blessing over those who have hurt you.
Okay, fine. But you're absolutely right, Becky. You know, these are principles that I think as followers of Christ, we know them and we can tell them to others. But when it comes to us, we want to hold on to the unforgiving spirit. And that's just where the enemy wants to keep us in unforgiveness so that we are not set free from that moment. The person that has hurt us is probably not even knowing it or they're past it. It's us that are bound up by that moment. And so forgiveness really is a key for our freedom in this regard.
Absolutely. You know, I there's a lot of angry people out there in the world. Mm-hmm. And lately, anger just seems to be rising, you know? Mm-hmm. And I wonder, like, okay, if they would just forgive and pray blessing over the other person, can you imagine the difference in our society? Like, I think even politically, what if they prayed blessing over the other party? I don't know. I mean, but you're absolutely right, Tom. It's about our freedom. And this is why Jesus was so firm on this. He said, if you don't forgive others, your Father won't forgive you. And we like to, you know, rationalize that away because we believe in grace, right? And so we don't know how this all works, but this I do know. What Jesus was talking about is that if you don't forgive others, you're not going to be able to experience the joy of his forgiveness because you're going to be bound to that other person.
And so many of us are bound to that person and to those angry, like you said, feelings, bitterness, those things that shrink our hearts, give us a stony heart, and then we're the ones in bondage. They're just living their lives.
Yeah, they don't, a lot of times, like Tom said, they don't even know they hurt you, you know, and you're laying in bed coming up with, I know you guys never do this, but I do this sometimes, you know, you lay in bed and you have those mental arguments, oh, I should have said this, or I should have said that, yeah. Or whatever, you know, and it's like, they're sleeping peacefully. Yeah. So, you know, the key here is to, you know, agree with God that you're going to forgive, act on your forgiveness, and then take it a step further. Whenever those feelings come back, you pray blessing over that other person.
Okay, so I have one last question on this. What role does actually confronting that person have? Like, I guess that's a case by case, but is that part of the forgiveness too, to go to that person and say, you hurt me, and try to talk about it?
Yes, that is such a great question, Tabby. Yes, absolutely. You know, confrontation, a lot of us are afraid of that, but it just means a face-to-face meeting. And there are times, you know, particularly if a friendship or a relationship is really precious to you, you want to go to that person and say, hey, can we talk? Because this really hurt me. And you're giving them the opportunity to apologize, you know? Mm-hmm. And certainly with the more intense situations like abuse, you want to confront so that you could reestablish your dignity in the relationship, you know, and those confrontations, sometimes they go well, sometimes they don't go well. Either way, our responsibility is to forgive. But there's also a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, right? Because reconciliation means that there's agreement with both parties. So Jesus offered forgiveness to everyone when he was on the cross, but only those who came in repentance have been reconciled to the Father.
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Becky Harling is our guest right now. She's just talking about forgiveness and the key. And I guess, you know, trust really plays a huge part in this, that we trust that God will take care of us and our heart and our in that relationship as we do the principles that he's telling us about. And you write about that in a book that's coming out soon. It's called Tethered Trust. Tell us a little bit about that. And maybe people might be interested in picking up an advanced copy.
Yes. And so Tethered Trust is a topic that the Lord really gave me, because, you know, trusting God has been a lifelong journey for me, right? Mm-hmm. And so I went back to Isaiah 9:6, where the prophet Isaiah tells us the four names of the coming Messiah, four of his names. You know, he's the Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And as you dive deeper into those four names, you begin to realize, I really can trust God. And so this is the second in the Girlfriend Gathering series. It's designed for friends to get together and dive into this topic for 4 weeks together, or to do it on a weekend retreat. And right now on my website, if you pre-order the book and you let us know you pre-ordered it, you're going to get a free ebook that has practices to strengthen your trust.